Topic today is 10 guides to success. 10 guides to success. And the first thing a person got to focus on, and that's the hardest one, is not to worry. Right, that's really the hardest. That is one of the hardest things for a person who has responsibilities. And that's the reason why children are usually very happy. And the reason why children are very happy is they don't worry about anything. They don't worry about anything. And especially if they have good parents. If they have good parents, they don't worry about anything at all. It's all in the parents' head. And worry is really one of the most unproductive things that a person can do. The most unproductive thing a person can do is worry. It doesn't get a person anywhere. It ruins their state of mind. It ruins their productivity. It ruins everything. So worry, worry, worry. There's no point in worrying. So how does a person not worry? That's the question. And the answer is we have to increase our emunah. I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about everyone. We all have to increase our emunah. We all have to be able to pass the worries to God. Let, you know, Hashem, you worry for me. Everything, you worry about me anyway. You care, you're looking after me. A person's got to believe that Hashem is looking after them every second of the day. And that's a very important idea. There's an interesting Rashi, he talks about the man. The manna fell from heaven. And Rashi says over there, Hashem worries about each one of us every day. Hashem is looking after us. We don't really think about it. We don't really know this. We have to believe it. We have to believe that Hashem is omnipotent and Hashem cares about each one of us. Hashem cares about each one of us. Why does Hashem care about each one of us? Because number one is He created us. So He is like our celestial parent. He is our celestial parent. Hashem is our parent. Hashem is our Father. Avinu Shebashamayim. He is our Father in heaven. Hashem is our Father in heaven. Just like a father cares about his children, a mother cares about her children, Hashem is father and mother combined. Hashem has both attributes, father, mother, combined, and Hashem is caring about us, whether we can see it or not. So we don't see it. I was just talking to someone. He's visiting here from Israel, from Givat Zev. And there was a guy who went to fill up his car with gas, the gas station over there, and he got stabbed. They stabbed him right.
I was there the day chest. Before in that gas station.
Oh, there you go. So now, what a miracle was, the doctor says it missed all his vital organs. I just stabbed him right in the chest. Missed all his vital organs by a hair's breadth. A miracle. It's amazing, amazing. People get stabbed every day, nothing happens. It's a miracle. It's not easy to kill Jews, you know. You can stab them all over, and the guy survives, usually. On the other hand, we find people dying as well. So a person's got no worries, no point. No point in worrying. You know, people say, I can't go to Israel, it's too dangerous. Look what happened over here. A crane falls down, and an Orthodox Jewish man gets killed.
What?
Yes! 38-year-old Jewish man. Brilliant man. He was a mathematician, PhD, married man. Gets killed, going to work. You're going to work in Manhattan. The crane falls on a person's head. Well, I can't go to Israel, it's dangerous over there. Well, go walk down the street over here. Now there's a boy going to shul on Shabbat. I can't go to Israel, it's dangerous. But we have weapons over here, down the road. It's not dangerous anywhere. The Gemara says, Malach HaMavet Mali Hacha Mali Hatam. Malach HaMavet says, I can find you anywhere. There's no restrictions. It doesn't matter where in the world the person is. So the first thing we have to do is really increase our emunah in Hashem. How does a person increase their emunah? It's a major issue. Increase emunah. Number one, we have to ponder Hashem's all-powerful. Hashem is all-powerful. Hayah Hoveh V'yeh is above time, but we don't use that name. We use the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. He is the master. He is the master of the universe. He is the master. Hashem is the master of the universe. He's in control of everything. And not only is He in control of everything, He cares about us, He loves us more than we'll ever know. And that's but they never know how much their parents love them. So if our parents love them, if our parents love us, how much more so a celestial parent loves us? It's something we'll never know. It's amazing. We have to really feel Hashem's love. The Arizal says this by a sukkah. He says, what is the minimum size of a sukkah? How many walls does a sukkah need?
Two and a
bit. Arizal says two and a bit. One. How many bones in your hand? One. Two and a bit. He says, when you're sitting in a sukkah, you're sitting in Hashem's embrace. A person's got to feel Hashem's embrace. A person's got to think about this every day and say, do I feel Hashem's embracing me? Just think about it. One of the biggest things a person needs is a hug sometimes. A person's got to feel Hashem is hugging me. Think of Hashem's embracing us. Hashem is putting His protection over us. For a man, it's pretty easy. Why? Because we have a talit. Because where's a talit? You've got to think, Hashem, I'm enclosed in Hashem's. Ufros aleinu tzukat shlemecha. Spread your tabernacle of peace over us, Hashem. Put us into your embrace, Hashem. So worry. Worry is the most unproductive of all human activities. How does a person worry? And the answer is, put yourself in the hands of God. A person's got to think, I'm in God's hands. David HaMelech says, Nipala na biyad Hashem. I want to fall into the hands of God. Velo biyad bnei Adam. But not in the hands of people. We want to fall in the hands of Hashem. Hashem is merciful, not in the hands of people. So a person going to envisions himself. The way a person envisions themselves, that's exactly how they create their reality. We create reality. How do we create reality? We envision ourselves as being inside Hashem, cocooned by Hashem. Hashem is our father and our mother. And how do we do that? And the answer is, a person who doesn't sin will never fear. That's number two, really. We find Yaakov Avinu was scared. Esav was coming with 400 men. Yaakov Avinu, vayirai, vayetze lo. He was scared. Why was he scared? Rashi says, Shema gara machet. Maybe he did something wrong. And a person who doesn't sin is not scared. It's not either fear. A person did nothing wrong. It's like there's a... They're looking for the thief, and the guy's over there, the police over there. Okay, I don't care. I didn't do it. Police can't catch me. I'm nothing to do with it. So same thing. Normally in life, only worries and fears are caused by sin. A person does something wrong, they get worried, they fear. So very important. Number one is belief in Hashem. Number two is increased belief. It's not just belief. We said it's bitachon. Bitachon is, I believe there's a God, but can God help me? Bitachon is, yes, God helps you. God is like a Hagurat Bitachon. What is a Hagurat Bitachon? Safety. A safety belt. But really, the word Bitachon doesn't mean safety. Bitachon means trust. It's a belt of trust. Hashem is our seat belt. He's our safety belt. It's going to feel like we're cocooned by Hashem. So that's very important. Worry. It's so hard not to worry. It's so hard not to worry. It's really one of the biggest tests. And the older we get, the more the worry, you know, who's going to look after me in my old age? There's never-ending worry. Worry never ends. The truth is, people survive somehow. People survive, and people survive without worry. It's very important to be happy. A person who believes in God has to be happy. Has to be happy. Why? Because if they're not happy, it's a sign they don't believe. Imagine, you see people who are miserable all day and they're depressed all the day. A person needs to be happy and serve God with simcha. It's very hard to serve God with simcha. To be happy and not worry. So worry takes away from the happiness. Worries is really a big test. The more a person worries, the less emunah they have. It's directly proportional. Inverse relationship between emunah and worry. And directly proportional emunah and happiness. A person is happy. It's a sign that they are happy because they trust in God. Just like a child is not worried because they know they have parents. Their parents will look after everything. Don't worry. They don't worry about money, they don't worry about food, they don't worry about anything. They wake up in the morning, the breakfast is there. Same thing, we have to learn that. So that was the 40 years of training in the desert. 40 years of training through the man. The man is something which you have to remember. It's one of the remembrances every single day. Every single day we have to remember man. What's the man? Every day Hashem protects us. Hashem provides for us every single day. And don't be fearful. Why not be fearful? Again, we have to remember every single day. Hashem took us out of Egypt. If Hashem can take millions of people out of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim comes from the word Metzarim. Metzarim is a prison. Metzarim is a prison. If Hashem can take millions of people out of Mitzrayim, He can take me out of my troubles, for sure. And that's why it's very important to start. We start the Shemoneh Esrei. Before the Shemoneh Esrei, we say a bracha. Which bracha do we say before Shemoneh Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Hashem is the Redeemer of Israel. Just like He redeemed us in the past, He can redeem me right now, my troubles. And one of the brachot in the Shemoneh Esrei is Goel Israel. Hashem redeems Israel now, right now as we speak. Look at the situation around us. It's a weird situation. The whole world hates us. The UN, nothing else, Israel. People being killed all over, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people being killed. Refugee crisis. The EU is worried about Israel. The goods that grow in the West Bank. You've got to mock them. The State Department came out the same issue. All worried about Israel. Hashem Shomer Israel. Israel Beit HaBashem. We have to trust in God. There's nothing else we can trust in. Can't trust in Obama. Can't trust in the EU. No one's going to save us. Only one is going to save us. Hashem. That's all we have. So, listen. Hashem is all powerful. If you're on Hashem's team, you're definitely going to win. Hashem's team always wins. We were doing yesterday, for those who are here, and Mr. Bickard comes. Yesterday, we were talking about Gideon. Right? Gideon has to fight the Midianites. There are 135,000 people in their army, Midianites. He has an army of 32,000. And you know what Hashem tells him? Yeah, your army is too big. You have 32,000 against 135,000? Your army is too big. What? You heard me. Your army is too big. What should I do? Make an announcement. Whoever's scared, go home. So 32,000. 22,000 people go home. He's left with an army of 10,000. 10,000 against 135,000. Hashem says, Gideon, you got a problem. Your army's too big. He said, what? Your army's too big. 10,000, it's a town. It's too big. I can't help you if your army's too big. Why? Because the Jews are going to say that we won the war. We have 10,000 men. We beat 135,000. It's possible. Miracle. But we won the war. It's our power. So what am I going to do? Take them to the stream. Go to the stream and see how the people drink the water. Those that bow down to drink the water and lap it up, or they go down on their knees to bow, they're bowing down to the water, send them all home. The guys that go pick up the water with their hands, scoop it up and stand up and drink, those are the ones you want. 300 people left to fight 135,000 people. Hashem says, that's what I want. That's the odds I like. The odds I like is when no one says that there's a chance in hell. Hashem says, no one says there's a chance in hell. What's the chances this little country can survive? Listen, natural chances, zero. How could 1948 was the biggest miracle? All these Holocaust survivors. Take them off the boat, and they give them a weapon. Go fight. I never fought in my life. I was a Holocaust survivor. I was in the camps. No, you have to fight now. You have to fight for your life. What's the chance of? We lost 1% of the population. 6,000 people died in 1948. It was a miracle. It was a massive miracle. 67 miracles. We see miracles after miracles. 73 was the worst and the biggest miracle. There was one tank or two tanks against 400 tanks on the Syrian front, on the Golan. They nearly broke through. It's like it was a miracle. So Hashem says, I like odds. What's the chance of Jewish survival? 0.01% of the world population. We are 0.01% of the world population. The chances are no one should ever heard of a Jews. Jews should never be heard of. Madagascar. More people in Madagascar than Jews in the world. How many people heard of Madagascar? I don't know. Where do you know where it is? It's off the coast of South Africa. Somewhere. Right?
On the east side.
Yeah.
South.
That's right. Yeah. Southeast. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. East side. I'm saying it's not on the front page. You don't hear about them. No one ever talks about them. Jews are news. Especially New York Times. They love Jews. They hate Jews. So worry? Why worry? I got the biggest power in the world on my side. I got the creator of the universe. How big is the universe? You don't even know. Trillions and trillions and trillions. Stars. Like the sand of the sea. It's hard to imagine. Here's the creator of the universe telling us, I love you. And we're going to say, you love me, but what do you do for me today? What do you do for me lately? Well, you could walk, you can talk, you can see, you can hear, you can get around. You're alive. So number one is don't worry. It's no point worrying. It's the most negative thing and the most common thing. Worry, 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 worry. Can't sleep at night. Worry, worry. I can't sleep at night. I can't operate during the day. I can't do anything. I'm stuck with my worries. So the first technique we have to teach our children and teach ourselves is transfer the worry to the one who really is in control. Transfer the worry. How does the person transfer the worry? That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about worry. Transferring worry. I'm worried about this. Hashem, help me with this. Transferred it. Now I'm happy. I didn't worry about it. I pray to him, Hashem. I believe that Hashem will answer my prayers. In one way or the other. Sometimes his prayer answers yes, sometimes he answers no. Hashem answers prayers, so why do I have to worry about it? Gam zu letova. Beautiful. How do we handle worries? Gam zu letova. We believe that whatever happens for the best. It's good. Gam zu letova. It's bad. Gam zu letova. Whatever happens for the best. And fear. Fear is like the word. Fear, a person will never do anything. They won't even lift their finger. Who is that guy? The millionaire, the multi-millionaire was scared of germs. Was that
scared of what?
Germs. He went crazy.
No,
he wasn't Jewish.
No,
he owned Pan Am. Who is it? What's his name? Come on, guys. There was a movie about him, a very famous movie.
Okay.
Can you imagine? He was feared.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Yeah. Howard Hughes. Multi-billionaire. Howard Hughes. Yeah. He's scared of germs. And he gets worse and worse. You know, start off, he wouldn't touch people's hands. Imagine he never got married because he's scared of germs. He didn't have kids. He's scared of germs. Madman. He would live like a hermit. He wouldn't allow anyone inside his room. He wouldn't touch the handle. He would wipe it with a thing and then he'd wear gloves. He's madman, complete Michigan. Yeah, he's a multi-billionaire. Everyone's arguing over his estate. Who's going to get his money? But look how worry killed him. He had billions and billions, but the billions didn't help him. Why? He's worried about germs. If you're worried about germs, you won't go out. You won't breathe. Germs. Hey, that guy sneezed. That guy this. That guy. It's true. I mean, obviously, person's got to take precautions. But if you're worried about it, you won't do anything. I don't know how he did so much. He accomplished so much with his mishugas. So mishuga. Completely mishuga. Howard Hughes? You sure? That's not what the movie says, anyway. The movie was a bit different.
Were you going to believe facts or movie?
Okay. So.
My father-in-law was the attorney on the Howard Hughes case, so I'm going to believe my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not important. But it's interesting that what really got him was the germs, right? He was worried about germs. He couldn't live. He couldn't live a normal life. Small things. So we're fearful. Fearful of this, fearful of this. All these paranoia. First becomes paranoid. He was paranoid to the nth degree. Too much fear. So first thing is, don't be fearful. Don't be worrying. Don't be fearful. Because most of the things we fear never come to pass. Baruch Hashem. Just ask the insurance companies, the actuaries, they'll tell you. How many people are fearful of this, fearful of this? A person wouldn't run their normal life. He wouldn't cross the road. He wouldn't drive. I'm fearful. I wouldn't go on a plane, which happens to be one of the safest forms of transportation. But I'm fearful. I'm on a plane. I have relatives who won't go on planes. So go on a boat. But what about the Titanic? But they go in cars, and cars are the most dangerous. Cross the street. So you know what we have to do? There's a very famous Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is talking about in the 50s, 60s, they asked him about smoking. And those days, the statistics were not out there. They didn't know. So he says a very important general rule. He says, if society is engaged in something which may be deemed dangerous, but society accepts the risks, you are allowed to do it. If society says we accept the risks of living in LA or in San Francisco, even though there's a massive fault line over there, they were expecting a big one now, whenever it's going to happen. But they know there's going to be a big one. Society accepts the risks, you are also allowed to accept the risks. From what you find, she says that. And what's the basis? There's a pasuk David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Shomer Petayim Hashem. Hashem looks after fools. What do you mean looks after fools? So the word fools is in the plural. If society are foolish and they accept the risks, Hashem, you can rely on Hashem. If society says, we don't accept the risks, you have to sign a waiver. Bungee jumping. You have to sign a waiver. What else? I don't know. All these dangerous sports. You have to sign a waiver. Society does not accept the risks. Then you're not allowed to engage in it. A Jew is not allowed to engage in these extreme sports because they're dangerous. Society doesn't accept the risks. You're not allowed to accept it. You can't rely on God where the society does not accept the risks.
They make sign waivers even when things aren't dangerous.
I know.
Because they're afraid of lawsuits.
No, it depends. That's doctors. Uh-huh. That's doctors. That's doctors. Surgery, minor surgery, whatever. There are risks. There are risks. And that's a question in halakha. You have to ask the rabbi. Can I have this little minor surgery? I had to sign a waiver. You have to ask a question. So what are the risks? What are the benefits? What are the risks? That's why I have an article on plastic surgery. Are you allowed to go through plastic surgery? It's not medically indicated. Those are issues. Are you allowed to donate blood? Because there are risks. I mean, the risks are very minimal. So the answer is yes, because the mitzvah of Al Tamur Adam Recha, don't stand by it, your neighbor's blood. It overrides the minimal risks. Depends on the person. If the risks go up, the more the risks are, the less obligation you have. The interesting question, if you see someone drowning and you know how to swim, can you jump in or do you have to jump in? It's an interesting halakhic question. These are all halakhic questions. If there's a kidney person that needs a kidney, can you donate or do you have to donate a kidney? These are major issues. So these come in. This is where all these general rules, how much risk can a person tolerate? How much risk does a person have to tolerate? And the answer is you don't have to tolerate any risk. But there's a very beautiful one opinion, I can't remember who it was. He says, if you would jump in to save your money, you have to jump in to save someone else's life. I think that's a beautiful idea. If you would take that risk, if you saw your $1 million in the water going down of cash and there's no way you get it back and you would jump in to save it, you should jump in to save your friend. I don't know. These are major questions you have to ask if there's risks involved. So a person should not be fearful of things which haven't started, haven't even arrived. Why be fearful? A person lives in fear all the time. These are very hard issues, very hard. These are all human mental issues. Worry, fear. I mean, living as a Jew is a fearful experience. And one of the things I tell a potential convert is, you must like to be a Jew. Imagine a Jew in 1939, living in Germany or Poland. You know what kind of fear that is? Trepidation living as a Jew. I mean, when I grew up as a kid, I was scared. Walking the streets of London, Jew. You walk with a kippah. It's terrifying. In the shadows of the Holocaust. Till 1967. Till the Six-Day War, Jews were scared, terrified. It's not a joke. Okay, that's number two. So number two is, don't be fearful. Why? David HaMelech says, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be fearful. Why? Because you are with me. Mm-hmm. We have to imagine, holding on to God's hand. Everywhere we go, a person's got to think, hold on to God's hand. Hashem's hand is there. Hold on to Hashem's hand. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. Don't be scared. And that's how a person knows how much emunah they have. The more emunah they have, the less fear there is. The more emunah they have, less worries there are. The only problem is, a person says, I've sinned. Who knows if Hashem will help me? That's the biggest problem. That's our problem. Our problem is, I'm not scared of, will God help me or not? I'm scared of whether I did something wrong that God says, I'm not going to help this guy. That's the problem. That is the real issue. So, yeah, we have to be scared of sin. That's the biggest problem. Sin is like committing suicide, spiritual suicide. We don't really realize it. Spiritual suicide. We don't really realize it. But to live with worry and to live with fear, sin is very easy. Why? A person can do teshuva. A person can do teshuva in the head. A person can say teshuva. That's teshuva. We can do teshuva. Only problem is, sin's between people and people. Teshuva doesn't help. That's the problem. All right. Don't face challenges which haven't come across yet. The guy hasn't graduated high school. He's very worried about graduating college. Mm-hmm. Take one day at a time. Each step at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself. The person's worried about their retirement. study as well. Worry about your time. Don't worry about your time and enjoy yourself a little bit. People just, we get paranoid. We get, because no one knows what's going to happen. Person can save all they want for their retirement, and all of a sudden you get stuck. Everything smashes, crashes. Right now, everything's crashing right now. It's beyond our control. Hashem sends us these things beyond our control to tell us, you don't have control of your life. I have control of your life. We have to realize Hashem has control of our lives. So face each problem as it comes. Don't make yourself face multiple problems at the same time. Yes, you have to do ishtalut. Try your best.
Well, if you haven't finished college, high school yet, yeah, you would worry about college because...
No, graduating college. He's worried about graduating college already before finishing high school.
You want to make sure you're taking the right classes. Okay,
that's getting into college. But great, I'm going to worry about graduating now. Will I pass the exams? Will I not pass them?
Or if you're 30 years old and you're worried about retirement, it's because you're starting to save.
Okay, good. But even then, even then, you can save as much as you want. But sometimes there's a Great Depression. What happens in the Great Depression? All these guys, how many people commit suicide?
But don't you have to do your part?
Yes, we're saying that's exactly her question. You have to do your part. I'm saying even if you do your part, people still worry. And it's still this. You do your part, but how much of our part is our part? You know what I mean? How much hishtalut is warranted? Because I'm saying, even with all the hishtalut in the world, things are out of our control. We don't know where things are going. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have this lunatic in North Korea. He's inventing ballistic missiles. He wants to bomb America. He wants to be able to have a missile that can reach America. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, look at I remember 9/11. Beautiful day. Gorgeous. Not a cloud in the sky. Just out of the blue. Literally out of the blue. The whole world was altered. One split second, the world was altered. Never forget that. Never forget how the world can be altered just like that. I think everything's good, everything's fine. But if we're going to worry about it all the time, we're not going to live. Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants us to live. Live life to the full. We have to live each day to the full. And worry is going to ruin us. Fear is going to ruin us. How could the Jews come out of Egypt? Literally, think about it. Imagine, 3 million people, look what guts they had. 3 million people are going to go into the desert with some matzah. That's all they have, matzah. How long will the matzah last you? A day, a week, a month? And then what? They didn't even think about it. They didn't worry. Why should they worry? You know why they shouldn't worry? We saw the miracles in Egypt. We saw the plagues. The trouble is we didn't see it. We heard about them. And that was the problem with Gideon. We talked about yesterday. Gideon lives in a few generations after they came out of Egypt. He tells God, he says, listen, I heard all the miracles that you did, but what you do for us? I don't see miracles today. Hashem says, don't worry, I'll show you another miracle. Your 300 men are going to beat those 135,000. We don't see miracles today. We have to believe. We have this emunah that Hashem is handling everything.
Even they worried. Otherwise they wouldn't have complained at Yam Suf and at Marah. And
yeah, but they worried when they saw. I mean, they didn't think about it. Think about it. They didn't think about it in advance. They didn't worry in advance. That was their merit. They worried when the time came. That's how we should be. When the time comes to worry, you worry. Well, why am I worrying now about something 20 years in advance? I'm going to ruin my life now because of 20 years' time. You have two people in their lives. You know, one is a warrior, one is not a warrior. Who has a better life? Why should a person worry every single day? Imagine, I have kids in Israel. I'm going to sit down and worry on my children, my grandchildren. Worry. What's going to happen? Crazy. So Hashem, you look after them. Just like you look after me, you look after them. They're in your hands. Everyone's in your hands. We're all in God's hands. My father used to say all the time. We are all in Hashem's hands. Every single day, every second, I was going to think, I'm in Hashem's hands. And that is really a mitigating factor when it comes to worry, mitigating factor when it comes to fear. And that's David HaMelech. He used that in Tehillim all the time. All his troubles, he just pours out to God. Pours them out. This one's afflicting me. That one's afflicting me. He went through hell. And he survived because he poured out to God. God was his helper. And don't take your problems to bed with you. Oh boy. How does a person do that? You know, it says Rabbi Tversky, Dr. Abraham Tversky, he says he has a worry tree outside his house. A worry tree? He said, yes. He said, before I go into my house, I act as if I'm putting my worries on this tree. I hang them on the tree before I go in. So if I go into my house with my worries in my head and my wife's going to hear my worries, I won't have shalom bayit. Women don't want to hear their husband's worries. Women want security. They don't. I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you guys, you can tell me. They don't want to hear all the troubles your husband's having. They don't want to hear. It's not. They don't be the psychoanalyst of the husbands, even though that's the woman's job, really, psychotherapy. Offer therapy to the husband. The ego's battered, and he's got all his problems at work, and this and that. The wife has to hear. Today's the other way around. Now, he has to hear all her problems at work. But the truth is that there should be no problems brought home. Hang them on the worry tree. Brilliant, brilliant idea. You have a worry tree outside. Pretend worry tree, and you're hanging this worry there, worry there. And you go home with a big smile on your face. That's what people want to see. That's what your kids want to see. That's what your spouse wants to see. That big smile. But definitely don't take them to bed with you. And that's why we say Kriyat Shema before going to sleep. Say Kriyat Shema before going to sleep. Get all the worries off one's head. I forgive every single person. Wow, that's very comforting. Because all these grudges and all these little things, they're the things that really cause a person not to sleep. What this guy said, and that guy said, and this guy nudged me, and that guy nudged me. I forgive them all. Get them out of my head. I forgive every single person who troubled me in my life. And the Kabbalists said, not just in this Gilgul, but in all the previous Gilgulim. All my previous reincarnations. Okay, we're on page 158. Don't borrow other people's problems. Well, that's a hard one. Especially a person who cares about other people. It's very hard. That's really the hardest thing, is the empathy. We Jews have a lot of empathy for others. We do. I was at the funeral for that boy, and the whole grown men, can you imagine, crying like babies. You couldn't help it. Just crying like a baby, because you couldn't help it. Empathy, you feel loss, you feel sadness. So, but to live other people's lives and borrow all their worries and all their troubles, you're just killing yourself. Empathy is one thing. Okay, how much empathy can a person have? And take it to bed with them and worry about it all. That's a mother. That's what mothers do. Mothers do that. But you know what? God has also empathy. Like, I don't worry about it. I have so much empathy. There's so much I can do. So much I can do. That's all a person should say. You know, there's so much I can do. This is what I can do. Beyond that, I can't do anything. I'll make myself sick. I can't do it. It's hard to see, you know. Rabbi Riskin says once he went to visit the cancer ward of a hospital. And he sees one of his congregants was a doctor there. He says, how do you do this every single day? I go in one day and visit this person. I'm wrecked. I'm a disaster. I'm empathizing with this person. I'm living his life. I can't take this anymore. And you're a doctor here every single day. How do you do it? How do you think doctors do it? They know their limits. Everyone knows their limits. We all know our limits. We have to know our limits. We can't live other people's lives. We can't live other people's problems. We can help them as much as we can. Again, we do ishtadlut for them. And we feel their pain. But how much pain can I feel? So it's very hard. This is, a person's got to know how much yes, how much no. What can I do? What can I not do? I don't want to put myself in pain, danger. You have to love your fellow man, but you have to love yourself first. After Kamocha, Kamocha, we said comes first. Kamocha. So what you can do is put them on the tefillah list, on the tehillim list. There's a lot of trouble out there. There's a lot of pain out there. We can't take everything. We can't take it all home. You can't sleep over it. You can pass it on to God. That's all we can do. Pass it on to God. Okay, now this is the biggest one. This is one of the biggest things. I wish I would have done this. You know, we all make mistakes in life. I can think, I list them every night now. All the mistakes in my life. I could have done this and I could have done that. I wish I bought that stock. I wish I bought that house. I wish I did this investment. I wish I moved here, moved there, did this, did that. Don't try and relive yesterday. It's gone. Do teshuvah. All we can do is do teshuvah. That's all. So it comes to physical things. Gamzula tova. What can we do? Miss this opportunity, miss that opportunity. Okay. Gamzula tova. Move on. There'll be other opportunities. Hashem is always sending us opportunities. All we have to do is learn from our mistakes and move on. That's all we can do. Learn from the mistakes. When it comes to spiritual things, we can do teshuvah, which is a great gift. The greatest gift God gave us is the gift of teshuvah. Otherwise, it just doesn't pay to be alive. Without teshuvah, might as well, you know, I don't want to say anything, but there's no point to life without teshuvah. Why? Because it's impossible for a person to be good all the time. 24/7, be good all the time. So we have to move on, do teshuvah, and move on. Concentrate, focus on the day. Today's beautiful, really. I'm going to worry about the snowstorm tomorrow, the day after. I won't be able to enjoy today. Enjoy today! Don't think about tomorrow! Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow will look after itself. If you can plan ahead and buy salt, whatever it is, okay, you do your hishtan. But to focus and harbor, you know, we're very lucky this year. You know why? We had a beautiful winter. Gosh. I don't remember a winter like this, right? It didn't snow till February. Is that right?
January.
Well, I wasn't here, so it doesn't count. That was a miracle as well. I'm going to London. I don't like going to London. It's cold. It's freezing. London was warm. And here, I missed the snowstorm. That's the merit of my mother, Baruch Hashem. That's the merit of the mother. So do teshuva and move on. Focus on what's happening today. Oh, this is the big one. This, if you can do this, no. You're a millionaire. You count your blessings every day. Ah. The cup is half full. It's not half empty, it's half full. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this every morning, the morning blessings. We're going to go through that. That's the next course. That's our next class. Nearly coming. Another few weeks. Count your blessings. Do kids worry you? But you have kids. Count your blessings. Your grandchildren you hardly see, but you have grandchildren. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Every little blessing. Don't overlook the small blessings in your life. Because all these small blessings add up to big blessings. Yeah? This guy may have a lot of money, but I have a lot of nachat. Howard Hughes had a lot of bucks, but he never had any normal life. It's crazy. Sugar. So mental health. If you have mental health, thank God, a million times, trillions times. The most important thing in life is mental health. And physical health? He won the lottery. He just won the lottery. We won the lottery. We won the big one. We won the big one. You're learning Torah, you won the lottery. You're doing mitzvot. Oh, the Arizal. I've got to read that Arizal to you. Arizal, he has 8 sharim, 8 sharim. Arizal never wrote a single book. But he had a student for just over a year, Rav Chaim Vital. I don't know how he transferred so much information to that student. He wrote 8 massive works called the 8 sharim, 8 gates. And one of the gates he wrote was Shar HaMitzvot, the gate of mitzvot, where he explains what a mitzvah does in the worlds above. Amazing. How do you know what's going on in the worlds above? That's what Kabbalah is all about. So he writes over there, the preface, the first page of that book is, number one is how to do a mitzvah. He says, if you do a mitzvah with joy, you win the lottery, basically. You win the spiritual lottery. If you do mitzvah with joy, and you keep doing with joy, eventually a person gets Ruach HaKodesh just on that mitzvah alone. Imagine. So a person's got to find a mitzvah they love and do with joy. If you can do that with every single mitzvah, you want lottery after lottery. You may have so many opportunities. Thank God we have 613 mitzvot, right? We have 613 opportunities for growth. We have 613 opportunities of reward. And that's what we have to think about. It's the spiritual reward. We don't think about it. We don't see it. We don't see spiritual world. All we see in this physical world is materialism around us. The truth is, we have more materialism today than kings had in those days. We don't appreciate it. We have a carriage at our disposal. If you have a carriage at your disposal. We have running hot water. We have toilets that flush. Flushing toilets. Imagine those days. God, you had to wait for the servant to come and empty your... It's disgusting. Disgusting, really. We're so lucky. But think about the opportunities for mitzvot. We can't imagine the reward for a single mitzvah. Can't imagine. If you do that mitzvah properly, you can't imagine the reward for that mitzvah is going to last you eternity. Eternity. What's eternity? Hard to imagine. Now, Adesla says, you want to imagine eternity? Think of yourself counting grains of sand. 1 grain, 2 grains. Trillions and trillions of grains. How long is it going to take you? Eternity. That's eternity. That mitzvah is going to last for eternity. That person does a mitzvah with happiness and joy. Amazing. Let's give staka with happiness. That's So hard to do that. So hard. It's so hard to give money with joy. So it's better to give a little bit of a joy than give a lot without joy. Honoring parents. So hard to be honoring parents with happiness. Ma, what can I do for you today? How can I help you? Can I cook for you? Can I clean for you? Can I buy things for you? What can I do for you? With a smile and cheerfulness. How do you do that, mitzvah? We have to learn how to do these things with joy. Count the blessings. Every mitzvah is a blessing. Every opportunity is a blessing. Okay. Be a good listener, like you guys. I don't know how you listen to me. I don't know. It's hard to listen to someone. Be a good listener. Only when you listen, you do hear things different from your own ideas. That's the idea. The idea is to learn new things. But it says, you know, I've heard this many times. But you know what? Mrs. Lady Sharon says in his introduction, I'm not writing this book as something new. I'm writing this book as something just as a reminder. I know you know all this information. But you don't think about it. You don't focus on it. Small things people don't focus on. We go out into this world. How many of us see a leaf and say, wow, Hashem, you're amazing. How do you make that leaf? I mean, how do people go to... Like, wow, this is amazing. Marabu Maasech Hashem. David HaMelech says, how great it works, Hashem. Kulam Be'ochma Asita, you made them all with great design. You're the greatest designer I've ever seen. You're the architect and designer and the planner. And everything just works like clockwork. It's a miracle. You're amazing, Hashem. When we go out in the world, we see snow falling. It should be awe-inspiring. All of a sudden, it gets the freezing point, and things change. It's amazing.
And each flake is different.
It's crystals. You go under the microscope, it's amazing crystals. Formations. Look at the design, Hashem. What an artist and designer. Psh, amazing, the colors and the beauty. But it's very hard every single day. We're so caught up in ourselves. Open our eyes, really, and see what's going on around us. It says, Shlomo Melech, Hashem gave Chochmah to Shlomo to the point where he can understand what the animals are saying. He can understand the insects. Amazing. There's a great story, the Midrash says, that one day Shlomo Melech got bitten by a bee on his nose. Got a big bee bite on his nose, and his nose swelled up. He was mad, he was angry. So he can speak to the bees. He's talking to the bees. Which bee bit my nose? He's going mad. I'm the king. I'm weird. I'm disgusting nose now. So finally he caught the bee. It was a small, young bee. He said, why do you bite my nose? So the bee says, I wanted to kiss you, Your Majesty. I wanted to kiss you. I saw you sleeping over there. You're so majestic. I love you. I wanted to kiss you. You want to kiss me, but you bit my nose? Can't say anything now. Stuck. He wanted to kiss me. What can I tell you? Okay. It's like the kids who messed up the kitchen because they wanted to make their mother a surprise birthday cake. Can't tell them anything. So the bee said, I'm gonna return the compliment. I'll do something for you. Don't worry. I'll do something for you. Okay. So Midrash says that Bathsheba, what's her name? Not the Queen of Sheba comes. Not Bathsheba. Queen of Sheba comes to see his genius, and she brings bunches of flowers. She brings girls with bunches of flowers. Some of them are real flowers, some of them are fake flowers. She says, Shlomo Melech, you stand over there. Don't go close, you're not allowed to smell them. Tell me which ones are fake and tell me which ones are real. He's stuck. They're far away, he can't see. Looking, looking, looking. Finally he sees a bee. The bee tells him, I'll tell you. This is the bee that bit his nose. Don't worry, King, I'll tell you. Bzz, 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 this one's fake. Bzz, this one's fake. This one's fake. She couldn't believe it. How could he tell? He's a genius, this man. But that's a good listener. Why? He's listening to everyone. He's listening to the bees. He's listening to the animals. Listen to this one. That's a good listener. How do we hear other people? I had a privilege, really, of being mentored by one of the greatest educators. His name is Dr. Foreman. And he has sons and daughters, all therapists and all other things. They talk, they write in the Jewish press, his children. So he was training me. I started a school, whatever. He was one of the mentors. And we had a meeting with one of the teachers. And then he says, what did she say and what did she really say? What? So this is what she said, but what does she really want to say? What does she really mean by that? Oh, that's... What? I got to start thinking about that. Imagine you go crazy. She said this, but she really meant to say this. So that's it. We have to be good listeners. Sometimes people tell us things, we don't get it. And that's the main cause of marital troubles, miscommunications. The guy says this, and she takes it as an insult, but really it was a compliment. Or vice versa. Sometimes that happens. You know. Miscommunication. All the troubles in history, a lot of the troubles in history, all the wars, are because of miscommunication. People don't understand. I come from this mentality, and you come from that mentality. You know, the joke is the guy who went to China, he was a guest speaker. And he bows, and he gets tremendous applause. They're clapping, and they're clapping, and they're clapping. He bowed again. Boo! Boo! So, can I understand what's going on? So he asked, afterwards he asked, he says, what happened? He says, your speech was too long. One bow, applause. Two bows, his speech is too long. That's it. We have to know the mentality of people. It's very hard. Be a good listener. And you hear new ideas and see what you can understand from other people. Okay. And the last one. Don't be bogged down by frustration. A person gets frustrated. I've dealt with this kid. I've dealt with, you know, teachers especially get frustrated, retire. If you get frustrated as a parent, what can you do? I can't retire as a parent. When people get frustrated, I told you a million times. That's what it says in the Shema. You'll repeat to your children, repeat to your children. That's how you educate, that's how you teach. You have to say over and over again without getting frustrated. That's the technique. We talked about Hillel yesterday, last week. Don't get angry and don't get frustrated. 90% of frustration is not because you're frustrated because of the other person and you're worried about them, you're worried about yourself. Self-pity. It's really self-pity. And the frustration interferes with positive action. So very important not to get frustrated with people, not to get frustrated with yourself. All these things are very easy to say, but they're very hard to do. Let's try and build up emunah and our faith in God to the point where we have bitachon, real bitachon, that Hashem is with us every second. Hashem is holding our hands. Hashem is hugging us. We can feel Hashem's hug every day. And be happier people. That's the number one thing. Go home, put your worries on the worry tree, and smile when you go home. I feel better. Today's going to be a good day. And the attitude we have is a self-fulfilling impulse. So it's self-fulfilling. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll have good lives and we'll be happy people because we'll increase our emunah and our bitachon. There's no other way to be a Jew in this world. If you don't have emunah and bitachon, there's no other way to survive as a Jew. We'll stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.